Welcome to our podcast series, Be in the Know. For today's episode, I've invited Adrian Zicari, professor of accounting at the SEC Business School, to discuss his latest case studies on value-added statements, in which he argues that value-added statement is an important communication tool that could be useful for stakeholders and help them achieve a more satisfactory agreement while supporting dialogue among company managers in different functions. Thank you, Adrian, for accepting my invitation.
Thank you, Maria, to you.
Without further ado, Adrian, let me ask you, what is an added value statement?
Well, it's an accounting statement that explains how a company creates and shares value towards a large collection of stakeholders.
I'm no expert, so you could probably tell me and our audience as well, what is the difference between a value-added statement and a standard accounting statement, if there is any, of course.
Well, in fact, similarities. All accounting reports have their source in the accounting system of the company, so the origin of data is the same. Only that in this particular case, we go a step further and we try to explain how this value was created. Basically, we take out anything that was bought outside of the company, and this created value, then we explain how it was shared among employees, state, let us say taxes, reinvestment in the company, dividends, company donation. So you have a picture of the value that the company creates and the value the company shares with a large set of stakeholders, not exclusively shareholders.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I get the feeling that the value-added statement provides a more encompassing view of the company performance.
Well, indeed, it does, because you see a few issues that are difficult to see in a classical a profit and loss statement. For instance, you see clearly how much it's given to employees. You clearly see how much it's retained or kept in the company for the sake of investments. You clearly see on one line what is given to state in terms of taxes and so on and so forth. So I would say in terms of clarity or being explicit, this document explains things a bit better.
However, because the complexity of stakeholder relations cannot be addressed by a financial indicator alone, could we then consider that the focus of all value-added statements models on the distribution of economic value may appear to be reductionist?
Yes and no. It's an answer that any accountant would tell you. Yes and no. Well, so yes, in the sense that many issues that correspond to performance, to company's performance, cannot be perceived in any financial, in any economic report. However, wonderful this report could be. So many things related with environmental impact, social impact, non-monetary issues, has to be addressed by other kind of reports, which are complementary. So this is true. On the other hand, on the bright side, I could say, the value-added statement helps you, contributes to clarify things that sometimes are difficult to see in a profit and loss statement. I would say that both the profit and loss statement and the value-added statement, are complementary.
And for your case studies, you chose companies based in Mexico and Uruguay. What motivated your choice? Why did you choose Mexico?
Two reasons. Basically, data availability. These two companies have been preparing this report and using it for more than a decade by now, 15 years in one case. And secondly, because they are large companies which have a lot of impact. For instance, one of them, it's small by international standards, but it's among 2-3% of their country's GDP. Mm-hmm. So, it means in terms of impact in the region, in their countries, it's tremendously important.
Okay, and in both your case studies, you bring up the fourth financial statement. Could you tell me in a few words what is the fourth financial statement? Sorry.
Well, indeed, the value-added statement is the generic term. So once that you have, anytime you have a distribution towards all stakeholders, you have a value-added statement. Particularly in this case, the fourth financial statement is one of the species, I would say, one of the standards that exist. There are several standards, and that's an issue. For the moment being, we do not have a single standard for the value-added statement. At some moment, it would be very good to achieve a common denominator for all these reports.
Okay, and did the managers you meet understand the importance of the reporting tool you were introducing? Did they understand probably that it would strengthen the firm's reputation? What was the general reaction?
Well, in fact, managers like this report. In our studies, we saw that managers liked the report. Because they help them to better understand what the company is doing, first. Secondly, they rely on this document because the source, the origin of data is the accounting system. So we are just putting in a different way what already exists. So if there are reports, the current reports are already audited, this document is by consequence implicitly audited as well. So in terms of reliability or confidence, they feel perfectly good at this, and they understand better what the company is doing beyond the classical view of shareholders only.
I understand. Were there any common findings, common to the two case studies, of course?
Well, in these two studies and in some other studies, we could perceive on the long run, longitudinal studies for more than 10 years, how companies react or change according to different economic situations. And you may see, for example, the case of the mining firm in Mexico is very interesting. The company tried to keep their people safe, let's say, in the company, even if there were huge changes in price volatility. So the company was not making as much money, to put it simpler, as before. Nevertheless, the company tried to keep their people in a safe position. So if you see this during 10 years, you see a company's policy.
Okay, and so what did you see about this company's policy? What did you observe?
In terms of, you may see several things. For instance, you can see how companies choose some stakeholders over the others according to the company's mission. For instance, one company, which is in the telecommunication activity, is state-owned, and they have a mission to reinvest in the country's infrastructure, so which means that you see over the years how they increased investments in that area because they have a mission for that doing. So it's interesting to see the choices company make on the long run, how they invest or how they give priority to some stakeholders over all the other ones, and how this can change over the years.
Okay, and what are the managerial and public policy implications?
There are many. In terms of, for manager, practically speaking, they achieve a more comprehensive understanding of the company they manage. Mm-hmm. I know the case of a company in Colombia that used this model, and each time they make a merger investment, they say, well, they say to themselves, which is going to be the impact of this investment in our different stakeholders? So it's not just the current MPV or this is the tools that we use for measuring projects. They also have the look for understanding of what how this project will impact on several stakeholders of the company. In terms of management, so a better understanding of the company. In terms of public policy, I would say that particularly for large companies, this is tremendously useful for public government officials. So I told you the company that represents 2-3% of their country GDP. If I were a senator, a minister, a president of that country, I would say this is tremendously important. I would have this that piece of information over my desk all the time.
And I will again go back to the question. Maybe it was also important to do the case studies in Mexico and Uruguay because we know that they're not necessarily, well, the free countries, but there might be a question of maybe...
Yes, it's a good point. A point of a distribution of income. So particularly if I got the point, in Latin America is one of the regions in the world with highest or let's say less good Gini indicators. It's an indicator that measures inequality of income. And that's why possibly this accounting report is so important. And so they because companies can explain how they distribute value, which is it's an issue.
And apparently they do, which was surprising part in your case studies. I thought that it was surprising because it's not something that we normally expect in Latin America.
Yes. And something else that maybe it's important to mention here is Brazil has some years ago made a similar model, which is a value statement with another format, a value statement basically, mandatory for all companies that are in the stock exchange, which is basically large companies. So, and there's something similar, as far as I know, in South Africa. So you see, countries we have issues of income inequality might be interested in using this kind of reports to pose questions to companies, to see if companies can explain, can develop their distribution.
Of course, and it's something that exists here in Europe, or is it applicable? I don't.
Yes, there have been some attempts. For instance, in Italy, there's some companies that use a similar model. Also in Germany, because of this there is a story of this also a concept of a company as part of a community. So it's a. And they in both countries they have been used similar model for a while. In any case, they are voluntary, so companies can Continue. Use it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but nevertheless, I think it's a good initiative. Some other idea in terms of public policies maybe at some moment to achieve a standardization of these models.
And according to you, why was it important for? Maybe, let's say, emerging countries to develop this kind of accounting model. Why, according to you, was it important? Because you say that it's something that we do not necessarily see here in Europe, but it's something that we can observe in Latin America and something that we can observe in Africa, South Africa. So these are, well, basically, most of the countries that you mentioned are... developing and emerging countries. So why do you think it was important for those emerging countries to develop or to put in place this kind of accounting model, reporting system?
The point is that reporting is not only reporting to investors, it's important, very important, but also reporting to different audiences in society, not only investors. In some countries, and this is the argument of inequality, in some countries where inequality exists, perhaps the role of a company is to contribute to moderating that income, that inequality situation. So that's why maybe in some other areas that are not in this situation, maybe the contribution of the company can be different. I don't know, different points, I don't know, environmental, whatever. I think so. I could argue that being companies, let's say, embedded, I could say, in a particular society, they may be pushed or let's say questioned or let's say asked different issues or different priorities, at least. And this is why perhaps this report could be more relevant, more useful in some areas than others. Nevertheless, you have the story of Germany or Italy, which are, quite developed countries, and they have traditionally for some years having used this report.
Of course. Thank you, Adrian. This was quite interesting. And now we know what a value-added statement is. And thank you for joining me.
Thank you to you.
This was Beyond the Know, a Sec Knowledge podcast series. I'm Maria Vokudinova, and until next time, goodbye.
Thank you.